Today on the Mountain Bikes Park podcast, I'm talking to Kerry McPhee, who's an elite mountain biker currently training for the Commonwealth Games. She gives us a few great race tips. Thanks for joining me. So thanks for joining me on another Mountain Bikes Park podcast episode. This time around, I've got an interview with Kerry McPhee, who is currently in the Scottish mountain biking team for the Commonwealth Games. So she's right now training for the event, which kicks off in about a couple of weeks' time. 23rd of July it starts off, so pretty excited about watching that when it comes up. They're racing at Cathcambrays, which is a trail over in Glasgow. But we'll talk about it a bit more in the interview. I won't spoil it all. Essentially, Kerry is a biker from the Hebrides, so she's come across the mainland now, and she's now racing elite mountain biking. So it's great to hear from her some excellent tips on how to get better at racing, how to get into racing, as well as all her progress just now with the games. So without further ado, here's Kerry. So I'm speaking with Kerry McPhee today. Hi, Kerry.
Hi there.
So how are you doing today?
Not too bad. No, just getting ready to start another camp next week. And then a Team Scotland camp tomorrow. So yeah, I'll go.
plenty of stuff on then.
Yeah.
What's the camp next week?
Well, we have a Team Scotland camp on Saturday and Sunday, so the whole team get together at Stirling Uni and we get our accreditations and Sunday's kit day as well, which apparently is the best day of the whole of the Commonwealth Games thing, where you get loads and loads of kit. But the mountain bikers are having to head off on Saturday night, and we're going down to Yorkshire for a camp in Dalby Forest with the three guys. So we're there until Friday, and then we have a race on Sunday in Sherwood. So, yeah, it's a pretty long camp. It's going to be a tough one. It's going to be race intensive, and we're going to be racing pretty fatigued on Sunday, but all good prep for the games.
Yes, indeed. So I kind of imagined when you said a camp there, it would just be pure training, but you're actually doing some races as well, tied in with it.
Yeah, I'm just back from Austria and Morzine, and the camp in Austria took in two races as well. And on the way to Morzine, we did a race in Wales, one of the British Series races. So it's quite a lot of racing going on.
I suppose you can't get much better prep for racing than racing, is that right?
Yeah, well, some would argue against that, to be honest. There's two trains of thought when it comes to training, and it's not always best to just race yourself silly, because you can just do too much top end. But one of the other benefits for us racing is that we can collect some more UCI points, and that helps your gridding at the start of a race. So I guess that's one of the things that we're trying to do as well, is just give ourselves the best possible chance on that start line and be as close to the front as we can. So yeah, so we're all collecting UCI points here and there on the way.
Great. I didn't even realise they had that type of thing. So that'll be at the Commonwealth Games, you're thinking?
Yeah, it's quite like Formula One. Yeah. So the person who raced the most and has the most points goes to the front, essentially. And you want as good a start as possible in a mountain bike race, just because of the nature of it, the single track and stuff. And you just get stuck behind people if you're not up there at the start.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah.
So it's critical.
Right, okay. So how far are you up there just now then?
Well, the British Series races, I'm on the front row now. Actually, the last race I did was my first race on the front row, and I was quite excited about that, having started pretty near the back just last year. So I've no idea for the games, actually. But there's some good girls coming over from Canada and Australia. So hopefully at least third row.
Yeah.
I don't know what their points are like and so forth, but fingers crossed. There's quite a big start loop as well. You do have one kind of wide loop before you actually start the whole course, so that'll give you a chance to jostle for position as well.
Okay, so is that a bit wider, not pure technical single track, so you might be able to get around folk?
Yeah, it's wide, but it's tight and it's flat and gravelly, so you have to be kind of careful that you don't wash out on the way round.
Right.
The front, and it's kind of in front of the grandstand area as well, so that'll be cool. But after that, you do want to get to the front as quick as possible.
Yeah, yeah. Well, it'd be great. I was hoping to ask you a fair bit more about the Commy Games later on. It'd be good to go back and just ask about your history, though, like how you got into biking and stuff like that. Just before that, I mean, what's your history in racing? How did you get into it?
Well, actually, when I was younger, mm-hmm. I was a runner predominantly. I did lots of running, and I come from the Edge of Hebrides.
Yep.
So running was just kind of just what was available there. And when I went to university, I just kind of stopped it all, and I never thought, I raced at a high level, but I didn't ever think I was good enough. Just, I always thought the mainlanders would be a lot better. And after I finished uni, I did a master's degree and met a girl who was really into just keep fit and whatnot. And the Triathlon Scotland office was just along from our office. So we went along to Recycle Bike and we bought bikes for about 30 quid. And we would cycle to Stirling Uni from Stirling, which is about 2 miles. And our long ride was going to Stirling Uni via Bridge of Allen, which is about 4 miles. Mm-hmm. And that was very much the start of it, about 4 or 5 years ago. But the mountain biking thing, we bought these bikes and we entered a triathlon, and it was like the tiniest thing ever. It was in Bishop Briggs, and I won. It was a novice. There was nobody else in the race, really. But I got that taste for success again, and I was like, oh, I wonder what will happen if I train. And subsequently got a mountain bike and found that I took to the trails really easily, and just kind of started doing off-road triathlon and quickly won the Scottish Champs and quickly realised that I had a bit of an aptitude for it. So it kind of came from there. And but the mountain biking itself didn't actually start properly until last year. I think it was last March or April time. And I thought I would supplement my triathlon training. So I was starting to race at an elite level in off-road triathlon then. And I did 4-4 SXE. And I placed not too far behind Lee Craigie and a fair bit ahead of a girl who was then a Commonwealth Games hopeful, Katie Winton. And yeah, and from then I thought, oh, I could maybe see how my mountain biking goes, because I loved it. Like, I loved the mountain biking. And the Triathlon Scotland coach put me in touch with the Scottish cycling coach, and that's when it all kind of started. But I stopped triathlon in October time, last October, and as soon as I did that, the cycling results just started to come. Right. So it's been several months of mountain biking, and I'm at the Games, which is crazy. Totally. Yeah. So yeah, so it's been a bit of a journey.
Yeah, absolutely. But, so a few different disciplines there, certainly.
Yeah, but I think I've always been kind of, when I was younger, I did want to be an athlete, but I think I've just not found my niche yet. Whereas I think mountain biking is my thing, or cycling is my thing and my niche, and I finally found it, and it's where I want to be. And I might have done it in an unorthodox manner and tried a few things along the way, but I got there. So
no, I reckon. Yeah, you have to kind of you have to try everything out to find it out, don't you?
Yeah.
I was curious about the cross triathlon, actually. I've done a fair bit of triathlon, well, not a fair bit, a bit of triathlon in the past, and wrote about that on the site too. And I always found it's interesting you say your results started to come when you gave that up, because I always found it just annoyed me spreading the effort between the disciplines so much, and I never got like really good at cycling or really good at running. Did you? I suppose when you get to your elite level like yourself, it's a bit different, but is there still a bit of frustration along those lines?
Oh my goodness, my swimming was appalling. Like, just not move it forward, and that was a huge stumbling block for me. And I was working with Triathlon Scotland, and I didn't swim when I was younger, and it's massively technical. Like, you just would not believe how technical it is at the elite level, and you need to be at the front of the swim to get into the front pack on the bike. And if you're not there, you're out of the race. And it was becoming quite apparent that my swimming wasn't progressing, so it was natural to stick to where I was strongest at, which is the cycling, and carry on with that. But yeah, that was massively frustrating, especially when you're juggling jobs and things, and at that elite level you need to put in the hours.
Yeah.
It's proving quite challenging. Yeah. But it was fun, though. It's good to cross train, and I absolutely miss the running, really miss running, but that's the first thing I'm going to do after the Games, go for a massive run.
why are you not running just now? Is it just not in your training plans? It not work as well for preparing?
Not really. It's just a different kind of stimulus on the legs, and it's just when you train so hard on the bike, you have to take your rest seriously and you have to give your legs time to recover, and if you're running you're not really doing that, and it's quite high risk of injury with running as well. And if you're running when you're tired, your technique goes and you're more likely to be injured and stuff. It's just not worth it. It's not worth the risk.
Yeah, that makes sense. So are you only cycling? You're just on the mountain bike, or are you doing road biking as well?
Yeah, I do road biking as well. A lot of my kind of endurance volume, and I do a lot of core and glute work as well, and some strength work too. I did a lot of road riding with the Scottish team this year out in Holland and Belgium, and that was really good for me as well. And I'm reserved for the road team, which is kind of cool.
So I do
a lot of road stuff as well.
Because it's often a question I get on the site, actually, whether people talking about how you would train on a road bike, just because it tends to be, for a lot of people, it's a lot easier just to get out on your road bike for half an hour or an hour rather than, you know, chuck the bike on the roof and have to drive for an hour to get to your nearest trails.
Yeah, I don't really know about that, actually, because I live in Stirling, so it's just 15 minutes and I'm out in Cambuspadden Woods and North Third. So I can't really identify with that thing of having to stuck your bike in your car. I just always see the mountain bike trails is the destination and the warm-up on the way there kind of thing. So, but I understand it is a lot easier just to kind of stick your road bike on the roof.
Yeah.
However, when we were in Morzine, we did lots and lots of road volume and road climbing, and that was all on the mountain bike. So it doesn't need to be road bike for the road. It can be mountain bike too. And you can play a little bit as well. If you bike your mountain bike on the road, you can, you know, jump on curbs and... You know, do wheelies and stuff, and you can make it fun.
Yeah, make it a bit more interesting. So what are you, apart from the Commonwealth Games, what else are you competing in? Are you in the UCI XC League, is that right?
Yeah, so, I'm competing in the British Elite Series.
Sure.
And some European races as well. And after the Games, we'll be looking to... start racing on the World Cup circuit. So as it stands at the moment, it's kind of coming into the next Olympic cycle now, and it'll be Annie Last, I believe, who'll be going to the Olympics next year. And the way it works, I've just got my head around this actually, but for every country, the number of people that you can submit to compete at the Olympics for mountain biking depends on the number of points you have. So we only have enough points, hopefully, to submit one person to the Games, which will be Annie Last, but she needs point scorers to get her there. So I'm hoping to kind of swoop in and become a point scorer for Annie post games and try and support her to get to the games. But yeah, that's only if I continue on my current trajectory and keep the results coming and stuff. So that's on the back burner at the moment. And whether it's for Annie or not, I will still be kind of competing on the World Cup circuit and just continuing the trajectory, because I'm still quite a spring chicken in the sport, and lots to come and lots to do, and it's really exciting, and I'm enthusiastic about it, which is cool as well. So.
Yeah, definitely.
So yeah.
So basically the country itself scores the points, so you need to have a lot of decent, say, Scottish mountain bikers scoring points in a UCI league or something that qualifies for one or two or three people to qualify for the Olympics.
Yeah, and I had no idea about this. I didn't know that's how it worked. Yeah. And I think Annie's been injured for quite a while now. She's had a back injury. She did very well at the last Olympics. I think she came seventh, mm-hmm. but she was expected to do a bit better. She rides for Trek Factory Racing. She's a great, great rider. But she's not been on the circuit, so we as a country don't have enough points, I believe. So they need girls to go out and race and get it on that start line.
So how many more points do you think, or how close are we to getting a couple of people into the Olympics? Is it a long way off?
Massive. I don't know the ins and outs of the numbers. I just know that to get Annie on the start line is going to be a big push. For her to do it, they worked it out, and for her to do it on her own would take 2.5 years of racing and continuous top 10 results in World Cups. So we're a long way off. If I'd known this 3 years ago, I might have switched to mountain biking sooner.
Yeah. Well, mountain biking's always the best cycling sport anyway, I would say.
Oh,
so you should have switched anyway. Points or not. But yeah, no, that's really interesting to hear, actually. Like, you don't get an idea. Well, certainly I didn't really have an idea of how that type of stuff works, or even the gridding in the Commonwealth Games races, that type of stuff. So I'm really looking forward to the games now, actually, just because I know I've kind of learned a bit more about the biking because I've always mountain biked, but I've never actually, until the London Olympics, I never really looked into the people that were doing well in mountain biking from the UK or from Scotland. So it's always interesting when you start to learn the names and get to know folk and you can follow them a bit more.
I'm a bit like that when I go on camp still and I'm hanging out with all these guys and I'm like, oh my goodness, semi-starstruck, but then I'm like, oh, just get annoyed with their bad habits and stuff now. Like, you know, Kenta Gallagher and Grant Ferguson and all those guys, they're phenomenal bikers and it's really cool to go and kind of hang out with them and stuff, but I definitely am still a bit like, oh my word, this is amazing, I'm on camp with these guys.
Yeah, it must be quite strange. But great as well.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So yeah, I mean, getting to the games, I suppose, you were talking about the kit day. That sounds great. I mean, that's something everybody dreams of, isn't it? Being able to wear their country's colours and go out and compete. Have you done that before? Is this your first chance?
I competed at the World Island Games last year, actually, in Bermuda. Every 2 years, it's basically just a games for lots of islands around the world. So like Caribbean islands and some random islands of Scandinavia and the Western Isles and Shetlands and Isle of Man and the Channel Isles and islands I'd never even heard of. And that was like a probably like a Commonwealth Games on a much smaller scale. So you get all your kit and opening ceremony and the whole shebang. So that was really cool last year to go and do that and have that experience and be part of that massive team and stuff. So on a much smaller scale, I've been privy to something similar to the commies. However, I think this is going to be just out of this world.
Yeah.
Like the amount of kit we're going to get and the security around it as well, and not being allowed to put your own clothes on. You have to wear the kit all the time, and even going into the village, you have to meet at a train station and get ferried in and stuff, and it's all really, it's really exciting, and just, it feels a bit like Hogwarts or something to me. Being escorted in, and it's cool.
Yeah, so that security must make it seem, yeah, even more of a big deal than it already is, which it already is.
Yeah.
So do you just get given a big bag full of cycling kit with all the Scotland colours on it?
Two big bags. Yeah, so on Sunday it's all just like the casual kit, and I don't really know what else. I'm not entirely sure exactly what we get, but it's just loads and loads of casual kit, and we'll get to our Scotland kit further down the line. I don't know how much of that we get either, but I don't really care. Everyone loves free kit, don't they?
Yeah, absolutely.
It's even better. So I'm not going to play it totally cool and be like, oh yeah, it's just a bit of kit. I'm really excited about it.
Yeah, that's great. Well, the whole, is that just the cycling team you're talking about, or is that actually the whole of the Scotland team?
The whole of the Scotland team get together this weekend. So that'll be really nice as well to see everyone and names to faces and stuff.
Absolutely. Because there'll be some big names there, presumably, because you'll have all the other disciplines as well. Who are you looking forward to meeting?
Well, Chris Hoy is going to be there as a kind of inspirational type person. Yes. I've never met him, so that'll be cool just to see him. And in terms of the other sports, some of the athletics guys that would be really cool to meet, actually. I met some of them at the kind of team announcement and stuff, which is nice. And it's funny because you get kind of, at a distance, you can be quite starstruck, but then you meet them and you're like, oh no, it's just such and such. And they're just like me, just kind of kicking about and doing their sport and trying to be the best they can. And and like certainly a lot of the other cyclists, before I met them, I was a bit like, oh this is cool, I'm going to meet such and such. And they're just my pals now. So.
Yeah.
But there'll be lots of really cool people around, and it will be amazing. I'll need to do my utmost to play it super cool this weekend, definitely.
Oh, naturally, yeah. So you've been out to, I saw on your Facebook page actually, you've been out to Cathcambrays recently doing a bit of practice. How'd you find the trail?
Yeah, it's good. It is really man-made, but that's understandable given it's just on the outskirts of Glasgow.
Yeah.
So it is really cool. There's no big climbs or anything, and some of the features are good fun. It's not actually totally finished yet. There's still adding a couple of features and natural bits and stuff. So every time we go up, there's a little new bit here and there. So we're just going to keep our eyes on the ball and just make sure that we know our lines and stuff. But mm-hmm. it was good on Wednesday because we did video analysis. So lots of the technical sections, we just rode over and over again, choosing left lines, right lines, middle lines, just to see how quickly and how fluidly we rode over them.
Sure.
And we'll get that back in files from Morocco Media so that we can do some dartfish and video analysis and stuff, which is always fantastic. Because you think you're good and your arms are bent and you're using your hips to steer, but then mm-hmm. you look back and you're like, oh God, I was stiff as a board. So it's really, really valuable and useful to look back. And I love video analysis, so I'll do that next week.
What kind of stuff have you found from that in the past? I'm curious.
I have a habit. Oh, so the last time we did video analysis, we filmed our starts. And when you looked at me compared to the others, but what Paul Newnham said was, Kerry, we're going to beat the triathlete out of you yet, because I was so stiff. So my arms were really straight and I wasn't pulling on the handlebars and kind of pushing into the pedals. I was just so straight. And looking back, he can tell me that and I can think, no, I'm using my arms. But when you look back and compare it to the other riders, I was appalling. So it's stuff like that, like bending your arms, this monkey arms thing, and also steering with your hips as well. And I'm still not 100% steering with my hips when I'm in the berms and getting high enough. And when I look back, it just reminds me to do that. So I found it really beneficial. So I'm still very much a mountain biker and within the learning process, but getting there bit by bit.
Well, you say you're getting there, but you're competing at the Commonwealth Games, so I'd imagine you're probably a little bit better than most of us. But no, I know what you mean. You're kind of, even 10 years down the line, with mountain biking, you're still, there's always things you're learning, there's always things you can do a bit better. So yeah,
I think the thing with me is that I can totally just switch off my brain and ride anything, which is unusual. Like, most people come at it and are terrified of things, but I think the word that Paul uses for me is courageous, because I will try big jumps and things.
I crash
a lot, but I swear it's because I try stuff.
Yeah, well, I always think when I'm taking people out mountain biking, I always tell them that, well, I still crash quite a lot, because you're not really trying if you're not you're obviously not pushing your boundaries or pushing your skills if you don't fall over every now and again, as long as you're not doing it to a ridiculous level, obviously, and hurt yourself. But
yeah, that's true. But no, so I think that's probably one of my strengths, is that I will try stuff and I wouldn't shy away from technical.
Yeah
if you can do that, then the legs can come, whereas it can be a bit harder to train your mindset rather than your legs. Actually, it's much harder to train mindset. And I've got that, so I just need to get the rest to catch up.
Yeah, absolutely. I always find that's one of the best tips for people getting into mountain biking, actually. And it might be useful to folk listening, is just, there's so many obstacles that you go up to and you break and then you stop and you look down at it and it looks terrifying. Uh-huh. And then you actually just never do it. But if you just roll over it, relax, hang back on the seat type of thing, that you can roll over just about anything, especially if you've got a bit of speed.
Yeah, totally.
Just confidence.
And use your arms. Your arms are suspension as well. You know, like push into holes and then pull back, and, you know, use your whole body. And just look ahead as well. Like, I think that's one of the things that people do wrong, is that they focus in on the hard bit and their eyes are just staring at the hard bit rather than the exit, or rather than where you're going. So if you look where you're going, you just kind of ride over what's in front of you there and then. And that's certainly, I find if I've been off the mountain bike for a few days, that I forget to kind of look up and look at my exit, and that makes me a lot more stiff and kind of juddery on the bike.
Yeah.
Then I remember, no, you've got to look to where you're going rather than to what you're going over.
Yeah, I can't count the number of times where I've looked ahead and saw a big, massive stone right in my way, and I could go, there's like a good 2 foot either side of it, but you keep staring at it going, I'm gonna miss that. Oh, I've just cycled right over it because I was staring at it.
Yeah, you just get drawn towards it, don't you?
Exactly. Yeah, I say that about you know, just rolling over something, just having confidence. But actually, when I was at Cath Cambrais a couple of months ago, I did the Scottish Cross Country Series there in May, was it? April, but it was a really good race. It was absolutely a horrible day. It was properly belting down, so it was terrible conditions. But there was one bit, it was the first time I'd ever been in a trail, and I'm not sure if it's still in a bit you're training on, but there's one particularly nasty descent down through a really technical little bit of rocks and stuff, and I stopped at the top of that the first time round, and I was like, what? And because I kind of didn't have time to think about it, I just grabbed my bike and ran down it and slipped on my ass the whole way, basically. But that was the kind of thing. The next time round, it was just roll over it straight away, and it was fine. Yeah. But just having that confidence the first time around. But yeah, it was great to see the trail, actually. That was what I was looking forward to with the games, because I've actually been on the trail now, so it's been able to actually look at it. But now you say it's changing, I'm going to have to go back out and try it again before.
It's probably more kind of subtle. If you don't ride it all the time, you may not notice that there are changes, but there definitely are. Right. How did you find the dual slalom? Did you enjoy that?
That was good fun.
Yeah, isn't it? It's really cool.
Yeah. Sorry, go on.
Yeah, there are some really kind of fun bits on the course, actually, and quite spectator friendly. Like, if you get two people on either side of that dual slalom, it looks amazing.
Yeah, definitely.
It's cool.
Yeah, no, I'm really looking forward to it, actually. For people that haven't been there, that are listening, Kerry mentioned at the start there, it's quite man-made. So it's basically just on the outside of the biggest city in Scotland, Glasgow. And they've essentially just got it's kind of a field with a bit of forest in it, a little bit of rise, but not much, is it, at all? It's more flowing up and down, no big climbs, no big drops, but it's still really good fun somehow. So it kind of shows how you could build a mountain bike trail just about anywhere, couldn't you?
Yeah, definitely. And the scenery is amazing. When you come over the brow and you see the whole of Glasgow spread out in front of you. I'd never seen it from that angle before, and I was blown away.
Yeah.
It does look incredible.
God, you can't be too... much of a stranger to great views, though, coming from Uist.
No, that's true, actually. Although I was never a cyclist or a biker when I was in Uist, but
all right.
Definitely now that I'm a mountain biker, I definitely find that I always kind of take in the view whenever I go, and I always appreciate it a lot more when I go home to Uist, which is cool.
Yeah. I was curious about that, actually. I was going to ask you at some point whether there's any mountain bike trails in Uist, but if you hadn't taken it up by that point, then I don't suppose you'll know.
No, there's none in Uist, but there are in Lewis and Harris now. So there's some around the Lewis Castle College. I've never been on them, but I've heard that they're pretty good, actually, and they've got a fleet of bikes that people can go and try, which is fantastic. Really, really cool for the islands. And they're really kind of... it's absolutely incredible how much they've got behind me for the games. And
really?
Super, because there's been no female ever from the Outer Hebrides at the games before, so it's just amazing how they've embraced it and how they've got into their cycling and stuff, and it's really exciting.
Yeah, that's brilliant.
A role model and a kind of... I'm not sure, just I've never felt so proud to be an islander, to be honest.
Absolutely, making history.
Yeah. That's like, I can hang up my bike now. I've made history.
Yeah, absolutely. No, that's brilliant. I've only been to the Outer Hebrides once. Cycled from the south up from Barra, just road bike. Like, took some panniers and just camped the whole way. But it's such an amazing place, isn't it? I would love to take the mountain bike up to the north if there's some trails around Lewis as well.
Did you do the Barra to Butt?
No, I don't know. I don't know that. Is that a well known route?
Yeah, or Butt to Barra. So it's from the Butt of Lewis at the top of the Western Isles all the way down to Barra. It's really, it's pretty famous, pretty well-known route. And then you just get your ferries from Harris to North Uist and then keep pedalling.
Both ends, yeah.
it's beautiful. It's really nice.
Yeah.
I've never done it, actually, but I will one day.
Yeah, I only made it as far as, I think I cycled into the south of South Uist. And then we turned round back to I've got the order wrong. Benbecula, is that the one right below South Uist?
That's above South Uist.
Ah, okay. Oh no, I went past that then. Maybe I got to the south of North Uist.
Oh, okay.
Possibly. Oh, I can't remember. It was years ago now. But anyway, the views were amazing. But yeah. Sorry, so back to the games then. I was curious about your competition then. Who is it you're going to be rubbing elbows with? Not rubbing, you'll be bashing elbows with.
Well, the significant names are Emily Batty from Canada, and there's going to be Beck Henderson from Australia who races for Trek Factory Racing. She's the girlfriend to Dan McConnell, who is one of the men's medal prospects from Australia as well. And there's going to be... Lee Craigie will be racing. She's British champion on that course. But those are the two, I think those are the two. Kind of, Catherine Pendrell as well from Canada, who's a phenomenal racer. So yeah, it's the Canadians and the Australians that we'll really be kind of watching out for. And there's a few other names in there as well, but they're the kind of big names in terms of girls racing.
Okay, yeah, it just makes it so much more interesting when you know who you're watching out for.
Yeah, and when you know how fast they are.
Yeah, exactly. So what are your aspirations then? Where are you looking to finish?
I'll be aiming for a top 10 finish with medalling a goal in 2018. Mm-hmm. So that's the kind of pathway I'm on. And if I get a top 10, then I'll be really chuffed. But I have to be realistic. You know, everyone's saying, oh yeah, bring back a medal. But you need to be realistic about your prospects. And I'm still fairly new to the sport and I still have a lot of development and learning and fitness to gain and stuff. So, but I've earned my place in Glasgow and I deserve to be there and I've done the work and, you know, who knows what will happen on the day. You might fly or you might be flat, don't know. But yeah, that's my goal. It's top 10 and I think that's A, realistic and B, still a big goal.
I'll still be amazing, yeah. that's brilliant, yeah, okay. One of the things that I get asked about a lot on the site is getting into racing. So you've obviously just kind of jumped in with both feet. You're quite new to it still, but you're still doing really well. So I think it'd be really useful to know, like, in the early days, how do you sort of, what are your tips for people improving quickly or just getting into racing, getting that confidence to start?
Yeah, I think one of the biggest things is when you're in a race, you think everyone else is watching you and looking at you and seeing how well or badly you're doing, but they're not. They're thinking about their own race and they're thinking about how they're going. So if you're terrified of entering a race because you might come last or whatever, you'll probably find that everyone else in the race is grateful that there's someone slower than them in there and that they will look at that person and think, I was that person once. And you just have to let go of any self-consciousness and just get in and just go and race and enjoy it as well. People aren't watching you. They really just care about their own race and how they're doing, unless you're at the elite end. But if you just want to get into it, you just have to find a race. And the SXC series, they have open categories that anyone can enter. And quite often you can't even tell where you are on the course compared to other people. And because it's laps as well, it's not like you can tell how far behind you are or whatever. But really, just sign up to a race and get involved and get a couple of mates involved as well. And if you let yourself believe that you're doing it for fun and you're doing it to try it out and you're doing it to make the most of the Scottish scenery and what the mountain biking scene has to offer, then you're going to enjoy it and it's not going to matter where you are. And I think the self-consciousness is a big thing for a lot of people and not being good enough or fast enough. But if you can let that go and get involved, it's such a fun scene. And the people that you meet are really good fun. It's a cool scene. It's definitely, of all the kind of cycling disciplines I've done, it's definitely really laid back. That and cyclocross, I find, are just really good fun scenes to be around. And very family orientated as well. So you can get your kids involved in the kids' races and stuff too. But just get involved. And in terms of getting better quickly, it's just about going out and riding your bike. For mountain biking, it's probably the technical stuff that will give you the edge. So you can maybe go and find somebody who can teach you how to, you know, why you should bend your arms and where your bum should be on the saddle and how do you steer with your hips. So there are people out there now who do coaching, so it might be worth just getting involved in a couple of coaching sessions, because even like 3 or 4 pointers can make a massive difference to your technical ability on the bike. And if that's what's holding you back, then, you know, it's not a waste of money if you invest in a little bit of coaching. And that'll make you feel more confident on the bike as well and enjoy it more.
Yeah, it's great to hear you say that about the just go and try it, because I think that's exactly the problem you say about the self-consciousness and people worrying about what people watching you. But I think you're right, the Scottish Cross Country Series is great for that, because it's got that open category at the sort of bottom end, but it's still competitive, isn't it? I mean, there's still some fun. There's a complete range of people in there. And in fact, I've made the mistake of entering the higher up category once a while back, because my pride wouldn't let me enter the bottom one, because I thought, I can't be the bottom category. But actually, the category I entered, which was only two up the rung, was like proper guys in Lycra flying by me. I was getting lapped. I didn't even finish the five laps. But but the open category is brilliant. It's just nice and friendly and a great way to get into it, I think.
Definitely. And I would urge anyone just to get stuck in, and it's good as well to keep that scene going. We need competitors on the SXC series to keep it thriving and keep it running, so it's good just for people to get involved. And
yeah, definitely. And you mentioned about training as well. I think that's great, because I've gone through a few different training days basically with folk, like what they called again, Dirt School, with Chris Ball, I think it is, that runs the Dirt School. And we talked to them a few years back, and I hear some really good stuff about them. But there's a lot of other companies like them around now that can take you out for half a day. And I find that kind of thing, even just a half day of those pointers, like you're saying about bending your arms, using your hips, that type of stuff, makes such a difference to your confidence.
Massive, yeah. And you don't realise the things that you aren't doing properly or well, or how they can impact on your cycling until somebody points it out to you. So it's totally worth finding somebody who can help you.
Yeah,
and it will help with confidence, and you'll get the bit between your teeth and be racing in elite category within no time.
indeed. Well, going by my experience, it'll take me a bit more practice. But no, you're absolutely right. I mean, it's just that practice, isn't it? Just getting out and having fun and.
Yeah.
Yeah, good stuff.
And it's fun. Mountain biking's amazing fun.
So. Yeah, much better than road biking.
Definitely.
Cool. Well, I see in the clock I've kept you for nearly 40 minutes now, so I'm sure that's probably enough time taken out of your training schedule, so I won't keep you any longer. But it's been great to speak to you. Really interesting to hear about the Commie Games prep and how it all works and stuff.
Oh, cool. No, it's been lovely to talk to you too.
So, thanks. And I'm sure the whole country will be behind you. We'll be supporting you, certainly, on the couch watching the mountain biking.
Yeah.
Okay, well, good luck with it. And thanks again for speaking to us.
Great. Thanks, Colin.
All right. Cheers. So I hope you enjoyed that interview. I certainly enjoyed talking to Kerry. It was great to hear about all that she's up to just now. That's another episode about done. So I just wanted to say at the end, as always, I'd love to get your feedback. It'd be great to hear what you thought of this episode. Any feedback you have for me or for Kerry, I guess, I can feed that back to her as well. So you can get in touch in a few different ways. You can get me on Twitter at ColinMCGray, or you can email the show at colin@mountainbikesapart.com, or you can just leave a comment on the show notes as well. If you just go to mountainbikesapart.com/12 and you'll find this episode. Okay, thanks very much again for listening, and I hope to see you next time. Cheers.